the biography of the Tzemach Tzedek, I decided that I wanted to, as a preparation for Pesach, to do one piece. As a preparation for Pesach, to do one piece inside the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek and the Derech Mitzvah Secho. So we're going to have sort of a pause on the biography. We'll continue after Pesach. Already, until Pesach, we're not going to have classes already next week and so on. It's already getting close to Yontiv. So let's try to prepare a little bit by learning part of this piece from Derech Mitzvah Sech. Now keep in mind that the Derech Mitzvah Sech was written by a 17-year-old young man. And this is the beginning of a very, very prolific career. Let me first introduce the piece here on matzah, which is based on the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, which is a very good taste of the derech of the Tzemach Tzedek in his writings and his teachings. It's very difficult, so we're going to have to concentrate, and we'll try to finish whatever we can. First, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the concept of Golus Hadas. If not, let me just take a minute here to prepare by explaining this. Anything that happens in the world affects the individual internally. And the Golus of Mitzrayim, which we've spoken about very, very often, the Golus of Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, as we've learned many times, means Mitzarim, or to be held in a narrow way, in a narrow place. And the Golus Mitzrayim means, the exile of Egypt means, the inability of a person to express his or her deepest thoughts and deepest emotions. Paro, the word paro, comes from the word ha'oref, which means the back, the neck, the back of the head, the achorayim, which is a symbol of immaturity. Maturity means when a person is able to develop thoughts, to develop intellectual concepts, to understand intellectually something is being true, and then to take that intellectual concept and to be able to apply that intellectual concept realistically in one's life, to draw it into the kalim of this world. The immaturity of the Jewish people in a state of exile, where there's an exile between where there's a separation between what a person is thinking and what a person is feeling. In other words, you could have many, many thoughts of holiness, many plans of being great. You could have studied advanced, Kabbalistic studies. You could be the most advanced, most brilliant student, but you're finding it difficult to actually translate these thoughts into emotions. Your heart is empty. And there's that paro, that ha'oref, that neck, that is separated between the mind and the heart. And this state of immaturity is symbolized, or is manifested, in the Korban Pesach, which the Svarim tell us, the way that the Korban Pesach was brought, was that the head was touching the legs. And this is a fetal position. And the fetal position of the sacrifice of the Pesach is a symbol of how Hashem redeemed us from a fetal emotional position, where we were unable to be fully mature. This was the state of exile of the Jewish people. So Pesach means the birth of a mature and deeper self. That's what Pesach means, the birth of a mature and deeper self. Of course, this happened collectively and historically with the Jewish people when we left Egypt, but it happens every single year. Every single year, that type of awareness is available, that type of maturity is particularly available during this time of the year when the iris, when the lights of Pesach are lit. And that koach of Pesach, the energy of Pesach, is returning to the world. The ability to draw thoughts into the heart and to reach a higher level of maturity. Now, let's learn, beginning from the second paragraph. The first paragraph, again, there are Kabbalistic parts, the things that are Pikabola that I'm going to skip. So beginning from the second paragraph, I sort of summed up the first paragraph. The second paragraph begins, Ulahavin zektsas, lekarev al hasechel, inyin hamshachas moichin halalu. He says, in order to try to explain, to understand this concept of drawing the intellect down into the heart, what's called hamshachas hamoichin, hamshachas mochin, it means to draw the intellect, halalu v'ha'ara hamagir lanu aydeh zeh, and the illumination that reaches us as a result of this process. It is well known what is written in the Zohar, Parshas Vayetze, Shahamatzi hi michla de mehe menusa. In the Zohar, matzah is called the bread of emuna. Michla de mehe menusa, the bread of faith. Shayidei achilas matzah, tischaze ke emuna belev nishmas Yisrael. That somehow by eating matzah, faith is strengthened in the hearts of the Jewish people. That by eating matzah, the emuna is strengthened. V'chein kosev achinuch b'mitzvah sipur yitzis mitzrayim. And on a simple level, this is written already in the Sefer Achinuch, regarding the mitzvah of sipur yitzis mitzrayim, of telling the story of leaving Egypt. Ki hu yisod gadol, this is what the Chinuch writes. That yitzis mitzrayim is a yisod gadol. It's a great principle for amud chazak b'tarasenu. And is a powerful pillar of our Torah, v'emunaseinu, our faith. L'fisha hu lanu oisu moifes gomer b'chidush ha'olam. Yitzias Mitzrayim is a complete proof, an undeniable proof of the chidush ha'olam, of the fact that Hashem created the world. V'chiyesh aloka kadmon chofetz v'yochol poel kolan imtzos, and that there is a God who is before all things, who wants to and who is able to change all of reality, all that takes place in the world. And that this God has the power, has the ability to change all of reality whenever he sees fit. As we saw in Egypt, the Kadosh Baruch Hu completely altered nature Bishvilena, for our sake. Now these are the words of the Sefer Achinuch. V'im shekosav devar v'eila al pi pashut. Now even though the words of the Chinuch are al pi pashut, which means pashut pshat, were written on a simple level for everyone. Dahainu shayidei hamitzvus. Through the mitzvus. Shenaseh bezikaron yitzias mitzrayim. They know that so many of the commandments, so many of the mitzvahs are in order to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Chinuch is telling us that the reason that Yitzias Mitzrayim is so important in our religion is because tikova bilvaveinu ha'emunah hazos, that remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, strengthens within our heart this awareness that Hashem created the world and changes the world and changes nature in order to suit the needs of the Jewish people. That's the rule in all of the writings of the Chinuch, that through a person's actions, the heart is affected. One's feelings, one's thoughts are affected by what one does. So by doing all these mitzvahs in memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, our hearts and our minds are sensitized to the great principles of faith that are revealed through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, even though he says, I accept, of course, all the writings of the Chinuch on a simple level, I have already written in the mitzvah of Bismila Karaisa, Sosim Vegalia, that there are two dimensions to Torah. One is Sosim, which means hidden, Vegalia means revealed. And the Chinuch was writing that which is revealed regarding the mitzvahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Val pi ha-nistar, regarding the hidden Torah, hini be'emes ha-matzah yesh b'ha-koach hazel l'chazek ha-emunah, according to the hidden Torah, which we're now going to study some of, not Kabbalah, but Chassidus, matzah specifically has the power to strengthen emunah, milvad hazikaron. In other words, when you learn the Sefer Chinuch, when you learn the Rishonim, when you learn the Mefarshim, the general impression is that matzah, like all the other mitzvahs that have to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, all together, strengthen our awareness of all the wonderful principles of Jewish faith that were revealed with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Tzemach Tzedek is saying, but the Zohar Kodesh went out of his way. Rabbi Shimon taught us that matzah is called Michla de Mehe Menusa. What does that mean? Bread of faith. That means there's something there's something about matzah, that when you eat matzah, it strengthens the emunah befrat. Specifically, the matzah has this koach to strengthen the emunah. In other words, it's not just one of the generic zechel etzias and tzarei mitzvahs that all together bring us to a certain level of awareness, but there's a special, unique koach that matzah has, that it is mechazik the emunah, that's called the michal de mehe menusa. Milvad hazikaron, in addition to the fact that, of course, like the Chinuch writes, it reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the principles of faith that are involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chal derech zeh inyan ha'agada. V'chein al derech zeh the ha'agada also. V'hagal yishab Torah hu kefi ha'sasa. That which is revealed in Torah must correspond to that which is concealed. K'ma levush l'guf, just like the body, just like the garments, just like the garments are made to perfectly fit the body, so too, the revealed aspect of Torah perfectly fits the concealed aspect of Torah. V'yeshod kam upon him, lifnim ad ein keitz v'tachlis. And the Torah is deeper and deeper without end. V'chaguf l'nefesh. In other words, on the most basic level, one could compare the revealed of Torah to the garment that covers the body. But then you go deeper, and it's like the body that covers the nefesh. And then the nefesh that covers the ruach. And the neshama that covers the chaya. And the chaya that covers the yechidah. Ad ein sof atachlis, the depth of the hidden Torah. In other words, each level of Torah is like a garment that reveals something of and conceals something of a deeper level. That's how all the Torah works. So the most revealed level of Torah, which is pshat, like the Sefer HaChinuch. When you learn pshat, the simple meaning of a text, Mefarshim, Rishonim, and so on, that is like the outermost garment. In comparison to the outermost garment, the next level, let's say remez, it's called hints. Right, the next level of learning, a deeper level of learning, would be like the body. Okay, but then when you proceed, you're getting to a deeper level of learning, so beneath that, then we would say it's like the guf compared to the nefesh. The nefesh is now the deeper part, and the nefesh to neshama is like, on all levels, it's like a garment to the body. In other words, there's that which is revealed and that which is concealed, in comparison to the level before. So that's just that Tzemach Tzedek telling us that now we're going to enter into a deeper way of understanding. Not, God forbid, to say that the chinuch is wrong, chalila. Just that the chinuch was only revealing the outermost aspect of the mitzvahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that Tzemach Tzedek says, but now we're going to try to understand the inyan of matzah on a deeper level. Now, this piece here, unfortunately, we don't have time to do it in its entirety. This piece here could be described as an introduction to the Hasidic concept of emunah of faith. And because of that, it's very, very, very important. I mean, here's a long piece on emunah, just on emunah, very, very long piece on emunah. When I say it's a Hasidic explanation of emunah, it's specifically Chabad Hasidus. But this approach, which is the approach of his grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek and his grandfather, Baal Tanya, is an approach that was widely accepted, although very rarely discussed, openly in the Hasidic Svarim. One thing you'll see right away is that in Hasidus, belief or emunah does not mean believing in the existence of Hashem. Does not mean believing in Hashem's existence. That's not what emunah is. Let's begin. Ulahavin ha'inyan yesh lahaktim tchila perish v'inyan ha'emunah. Mahi. First, let's begin. What is emunah? What is faith? She'en ha'kavon al inyan shekarish baruch ha'machai ka'el olam esbelvat. Forget believing that Hashem exists. That's for sure. That's not called emunah. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life to all worlds, that the world is filled with His glory, you can't call that emunah, you can't even call that faith. The fact that you believe that God exists and that He enlivens all existence, so the Tzemach says, that's not called emunah. You can see that with your own eyes. Anybody can see that. Even though you can't see it with your fleshigaygin, you know, with your physical eyes, you can't see it with your physical eyes. Harizek ilaraya be'enei baser. It's as if you can see it with your physical eyes. It's so clear. It's so obvious. Uchamayish ein tzarech lamuna al chiyus hanefesh shebeguf. Nobody has to convince you to believe that you're actually alive, that you have a soul inside of you. No one has to convince you that there's some life force behind the body that you only see with your eyes. You see that your own body is alive. And you know that physical, the physical body on its own is a lifeless piece of flesh. It has no life. So no, you can't see your neshama, you can't see your nefesh, you can't see any spiritual part of your being, but you know it's a davar pashut, even though I can't see it, it's a davar pashut that is there. Or like the famous marshal of the Chavis Levav, if you would see some ink spilled out randomly and it would spell, you know, it would spell out your name and address. So it's not that you saw the hand of the person writing, it's a davar pashut that there was somebody writing. It's a davar pashut, it's obvious.
In
other words, if something can be understood logically, if something can be proven logically, that's not called belief. If something is of a poshta piseichel, that's not called believing in Hashem. So we still don't know what is belief in Hashem. The kach ksivi says in b'sari echzer loika. My flesh grasps Hashem. Now, you can see with your own body, you can see physically, you can see in the world. You can't see with your physical eyes, but the Eine, what's called the Eine HaSeich, with the eyes of the intellect. The same way that you can see that it's so obvious to you, that the little world means your own body, this Guf Katan, has some sort of life to it, has a Chiyas, has a soul, so too, any person who has enough sense to understand that there's something that gives life to his body can understand that there's something that gives life to all physical existence, which is Hashem. In other words, if it's obvious to you logically that there must be some hidden force that gives life to your body, then how much more so, if you have any brains, if you have any seichel, how much more so you would have to accept that if even your tiny little body needs some sort of a hidden mysterious energy to give it life, then how much more so the entire universe needs some energy to give it life. Next page. Everything in the world moves, has life, just like you have life. And everything in the world is continuous motion. That's better than most of us. People are sitting around, they're not moving. The world, everything else in the world is moving. Why is that? And the Gemara says that the same way that the soul fills the body, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Kol Olam Mashpia HaKoyches Behem. And Hashem is continuously infusing energy into existence. Ulezeh Ein Tzarech Emun HaKlal. So Tzemach Tzedek says that for this you don't need emuna, you don't need faith. The gam chasid umas olam chachamayim besigim se. The righteous and the intelligent of the nations understand this as well. Veha emuna shenesiachta li Yisrael, the special, unique faith of the Jewish people. Kedachsiv anoichi Hashem lokech shetzeisichem eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who has taken you out of Mitzrayim. Kloimer. From here, from this verse, from this pasuk is revealed the essence of Jewish faith. That from this pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. From here we learn the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah saseh, the positive commandment of belief of emunah. Say for mitzvahs and so on. He lahamin. Now listen to this. You have to be very careful with this again. This is just the beginning of a concept that we'll study much, much more in Mitzvah Shem Yefti Yontif. So what is Emunah? So he says, Hilahamin, to believe. Shemitziyuso yisbaruchu ram v'niskov l'mayla mayla mabchina zu sha'anu royim shemachayis oylam. Belief means believing that the nature of Hashem's existence completely transcends the type of understanding that we have logically. Belief in an existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, sensing with the human mind, that there exists something which transcends the human mind. Because he goes on and writes, this aspect of God, that he gives life to all things, that he exists and that he gives life to all things, the energy of the one who is doing within the thing that is done. Again, like the hand of the person who is writing. that it's not stam random, the ink that was spilled, right? And it comes out to spell your name and address. Anybody that looks at the name and address written on the paper knows that there was a koach ha-poel benifal. That means that there was some intelligent koach that brought about that result. That means koach ha-poel benifal. So that's not emunah, because that's a davar poshut le-seichel. Ki b'chinas zuhu rak b'chinas dvar Hashem v'ruach pivyus baruch v'nikma malik kol almin. This aspect of godliness, in other words, that Hashem gives life to all reality and controls and directs all of reality, that you and I always go and brought a thing, that's great if you believe in that. It's like, that's it. That's the best you could be. So Tzemach says that this aspect of Hashem that's called Memale Kol Almin, that Hashem fills all worlds. Ulamoshal, he says, Ba'odim Hadibur Botul Gabi HaMachshava. This aspect of Hashem, that He gives life to all things, that doesn't come from the inwardness of God. That's like the Dvar Hashem. It comes from the word of Hashem. All of creation comes from the Dvar Hashem. It says in the Pasuk, Ki b'dvar Hashem, Shamayim Nasu, over Ruach Piv Kol Tzivam. What does it mean, Ki b'dvar Hashem, Shamayim Nasu? Hashem spoke in the world, and the world was. The fact that Hashem speaks, you and I say many, many words that reveal nothing of our inner thoughts. You could say things, generally what we say, is just a little bit of the tip of the iceberg, right? What we say. But the deepest thoughts are hidden. So when it says in the Pasuk, B'dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, that with the word of God, all of creation was made, and all the universe is filled with the life that Hashem infuses into it, that's like the Dvar Hashem. You understand what it means, the Dvar Hashem? It means it's a very superficial expression, the most outward, the most obvious, the most tangible expression of God's presence. But it doesn't tell you the essence. Ulamoshli says, Ba'adam hadibur batul gabe machshav. Same thing with a person. If you compare what you say to what you have inside your mind to what you're thinking, then the what you're saying is mamish nullified. Nothing. It's silly in the presence of what you're thinking. Va'machshava l'gabi ha-seichel. And the deeper level, deeper than machshav, is called seichel. In other words, even what you're thinking is very little compared to what your seichel is capable of thinking, and what could be in the deeper. Now we already, over the years there have been revealed, partially true, partially untrue, but some levels of subconsciousness and a deeper consciousness. So your conscious thoughts are mamish nothing compared to your subconscious thoughts. And people are making a lot of money telling you, showing you that the kind of things that you're thinking about, or the things that you're saying, the things that you're doing, are really being controlled by thoughts that you're not at all cognizant of. In other words, thoughts that you're not thinking about, or thoughts that you don't remember. And the seichel is nothing compared to the essence of the soul. And so it is with Hashem in the world. The same way that it is with you, that your speech is just a very outward manifestation, and what you do is a very external manifestation of yourself, so it is with Hashem. God spoke so that he should be king of a world, but that's not his soul. The words of God made him king over a physical world with millions and billions and trillions of things and people and so on. But that's not who he is. But what it says later on in Kriyishma, Hashem Echad. Oh, now when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, so Hashem Elokeinu is how we see Hashem revealed in this world, Hashem Elokeinu. But Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Hu ha'amon b'mahusu v'atzmusi yisbarach. When you say the words, God is one, nobody here should, God forbid, think that it means that God is one, the same way that there's only one me. There's only one, Chaim Yankel, whatever. Or there's only one Woodmere Cedarhurst, or one Lawrence. That's that. If you think that, God forbid, that's apikorsis. That's heretical. There's no such thing, chas v'shalom. So what does that mean? When you say Hashem Echad, you're not saying that you believe that there's one God in your definition of what one means. You're stating your belief. Again, this is a belief in something that you don't understand. You're stating your belief that in your mind, in your intellect, you accept intellectually in your mind that there is something about God that can't be grasped, that your mind does not grasp. Believing in Hashem's transcendence, in other words, believing that the nature of Hashem's existence, which we're going to talk about now in a minute, that believing in Hashem's existence means believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in a way that is completely, completely beyond and above, way beyond and above anything that you could see as far as all the things that we were taught are the fundamentals of our faith. Now, it's believing that he can do whatever he wants and he can do miracles and, you know, Mashiach and Chias and all this neat stuff that we all believe in and we have to believe in. That's not called Amunah. Amunah means believing. When you say Hashem Echad, it means, you'll see what he says, that there's mamish nothing else. This is called Sovev Kol Alman, that Hashem surrounds all worlds. Listen carefully. Zos Tam and Gam Kain, and with this Amunah, you have to believe. Shaha Oilam, V'kol Asher Bo, B'Telem Be'emes, B'Mitzias Lagamri Etzli Yisbarach, that just like in your life, your speech, your words are completely ridiculous and nullified in the presence of your heart and your deeper thoughts, you have to believe that all that Hashem made in this world that we see with our eyes is completely nullified in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And it's not even like a body that's nothing compared to a soul. That's not even a good example. It's just the closest we can get to describing this. It's not even a good example. Because a body is ridiculous compared to a neshama. It's ridiculous. But Hashem, compared to what we see of him, it's infinitely more sublime. Look, sof kol sof, a body is something that exists, and a neshama, a soul, is something that was created. Sof kol sof, a human being comes from the parents, and the parents brought that child into creation. And if that person would have been brought into creation, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama would have no body in which to inhabit. Whereas when it comes to all of existence, heaven and earth and all existence, you see, you and I, we were created yesh meyesh. What does it mean, yesh meyesh? There was mommy and daddy, and now there's us. Okay, there was something, now there's something. There was two, and now there's three. Usually the way it works is there were two, and now there's only one. Because the other two are not important anymore. But really there were two, and now there's three. But that's not how Hashem created the world. That's not how Hashem created the world. Listen to these words. All of creation comes from yesh me'ayin, from nothingness. Heim b'teilem mamish k'or ha'shemesh k'shehu b'guf kadur ha'shemesh. They are completely annulled, completely nullified, like the rays of the sun upon the sun. If you would be able to put on a certain kind of an outfit and to take a step on the sun itself, you would not be able to see any sunlight. The sunlight is something you would experience only from a great distance. On the sun itself, the light of the sun is bottled to the sun. V'zesoid ein od. That's what it means when we say in the davening, in the pasuk it says, Hashem l'kim b'shamayim ra'atz. Ein od. Now, ein od means there's nothing else. Again, the way we thought, the way we always grew up thinking was, ein od means that there's no other God. That's not what the Tzemach Tzedek means. Ein od means what? There's mamish nothing else. She'ein afilu davar tofel, rak le'einenu, histir lios nira ki'ilu heim nifradim. The greatness of Hashem was that he was able to create the world in such a way where it seems to us, to our eyes, that there's something that exists independent of his being. That's the way it seems to us. And that's the greatest miracle that Hashem made a world where we feel, we experience life as beings who are separated from Hashem, who exist independently. This level of faith of Emunah, this belongs to the Jewish people alone. It says in Daniel, the nations of the world call Hashem the God above all gods. In other words, when the Goyim, When he speaks about the goyim, he's talking about their greatest religious philosophers and thinkers. He's not talking about Archie Bunker. You understand? So he says that he's called Eloka Delokaya. Eloka Delokaya by the goyim, which means what? That he's the Koach HaRishon. The goyim are masig, are able to understand that all that exists originates from Hashem. He's the creator of all existence. He's the Koach HaRishon. And he is the true source of all finite things that come from him, that were created by him. Nevertheless, the goyim take the world very, very seriously. The world is something which exists, and it's a dover, means it doesn't mean it exists. It exists independently of Hashem. They think that God is like a soul inside the body. Just like there's a soul and there's a body, the two can be separated. So too, there's God and there's the world. Hashem has revealed to the Jewish people alone that He is one. Ve'ein od mamish. There's nothing outside of Him. He called ha'olam ayin ve'efes mamish. The whole world is like zero, is nothing. Lo kaguf l'nesham, not like a body compared to the soul. L'fisha mahusav atzmus yisbarach meroyme ma'ala ma'ala. This is impossible for the human mind to fully grasp. This is impossible. All we know is what was revealed to the Sintar. How could it be? You know, everybody's getting nervous. What do you mean? I'm sitting here with my finger on the place. I must exist. I mean, that's our way of determining reality. I mean, I'm here. I didn't pay my mortgage yet. I mean, these are our ways of understanding reality. The Tzemach Tzedek is saying. The Tzemach Tzedek is saying that there's a level of reality that transcends all of us. And that transcendent reality, there's nothing that separates from godliness at all. There's nothing that exists in the face of godliness. All that we have in this world is called a he'ara levad. That means a flesh, like the word from the word of Hashem, a flesh. So he says in the second paragraph, "Zehu mitzvah achilas matzah." Now, when you eat the matzah, you begin to believe in this. You begin to believe that all of reality is ke'efes u'cha'ayin, is zero, is nullified. It's mamish, the slight, it's like a little bit of a word from Hashem, but that the essence is ever so deep and hidden beyond our understanding. And this happens to you. You're able to come to terms with this when you eat matzah. Zeh mitzvah achilas matzah shenistavu bnei yisrael b'mitzrayim. This is what we were commanded in Mitzrayim. Ki Mitzrayim hei mechusrei amuna. Hanal. The Egyptians were lacking this faith. Lahitzi bnei yisrael mizeh. Egypt always means, it meant back then and it means now, constricted, immature faith. Believing only in what you could see with your eyes or what you could understand with your seichel. And remember that Tzemach Tzedek says that believing that there's a God that gives life to the entire world, that's not called emunah, because any idiot could see that with his seichel. That's what you say. Any child could understand with his seichel. Mochanan Wasserman has his famous kuntris for Mochanan Wasserman begins by saying, how is it possible that a little Jewish child is able to understand more about Hashem than Aristotle? And he speaks about that. If a person is not influenced by outside negios, by outside thoughts, if a person's mind is not distracted by what he wants, by his desires, by all physical distractions, it's the most obvious, simplest, it's the most obvious thing in the world. B'derech haseichel. That there's a God who gives life to all things. That's not called emunah. But whenever a person's in Mitzrayim, when you're in Egypt, it means that's the only faith that you have. Certainly, if you don't even have that faith, God forbid. But if you're living in a faith that's tiny, like a little baby, if your faith is in a fetal position, that all you can believe in, that there's a God and that He gives life to the world, that's called Mitzrayim. And we've got to get out of Mitzrayim. We have to get out of Mitzrayim. We have to come to expansive faith, to great faith, to the belief beyond all these things that we see and we understand logically that can be proven. That can be proven in a logical form. That's why the Gedolei Chassidus, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, it's not only that they weren't osek, that they didn't become involved in the logical proofs that are so common to the Rishonim, including the Rambam and Rav Sadia Gaon. The Talmidei Baal Shem Tov detested them. They detested these logical proofs. Not that these were anti-rationalists. Not they were anti-rationalists. Because the Hasidic definition of Emuna is so transcendent, it's so much deeper, that the Gedolei Hasidus would refuse to operate on that level of, like, in other words, you have a Sveik, someone has a Sofik in Emuna. Somebody has you don't believe that it's possible for a Jew not to believe. Because Emuna is something that is the same way that a Jewish person is a part of the living God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the depths of a Jewish soul. So it's not possible that a Jew shouldn't believe in Hashem. So how do you explain the fact that people go around saying, we don't believe? Okay, there are a million books written about it. Why people say they don't believe. But it's not because they don't believe. It's not possible. It's not shy. So he says, "Ulahotzi bnei Yisrael mizeh lohavim lamuna hamitis anal." How did Hashem lift us up from immature, constricted faith to mature emuna? It was through matzah. Shehi nikra michlo de mehe menusa, because it's called the bread of faith. Shabov al yod yegiu v'tikova b'libayisim emuna zu, that through the eating of matzah on Pesach, one reaches this emuna. V'heinyin yuvan, we can understand this. Al pi maimer chazal, according to the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says over there, Ein hatinok yedeir likreis abba v'ima ad sheyitoim tam dogon. It says in the Gemara that a child does not know how to say abba and ima, father and mother, until the child tastes dogon. Meaning tastes, dogon was dogon, wheat, bread, dogon. V'nei inyan kriyoso abba v'ima. Now, I mean, you've seen children that began to say abba ima when they're mommy or daddy abba ima when they're just eating applesauce. So I know you're thinking, so I saw a kid that did that when he was having a banana. So even before he's able to come to solids. So what is the Gemara? The Gemara is telling us something much deeper. That a child doesn't, until the child eats dogon, when the child eats dogon, then all of a sudden they shrite abba, tata, mama, when he eats dogon. V'nei inyan kriyoso abba v'ima, achati mazal tam dogon, the ability of a child to call out mother and father, abba and ima, after he tastes dogon, eino yediv ha'asog amitis mahu aviv. The child didn't all of a sudden intellectually, logically figure out what does it mean, what is a father and what is a mother. This kid doesn't know anything about a father and a mother, doesn't understand what a father means, what a mother means. He doesn't understand how his parents gave birth to him and what that means. So a little kid is saying mommy and daddy. He doesn't know what that means. And he doesn't know what it means when you tell him, listen, you know, you're mamish a part of your parents' brain. You come from your parents. And the nature of the compassion of a parent and a child, lefarnaso, to take care of, lechalkali, lehaspikol tzarachav. The kid doesn't understand any of this. The kid doesn't understand the father's natural compassion and his feeling of responsibility towards him. The kid doesn't know any of this. Rakoyrei abba bilvad. All he knows how to call out his father. But the essence of what is being... The essence of what father means is way above his intellect. You can't say that the kid doesn't understand anything. In other words, the child for sure does not understand intellectually what a father is and what a father's responsibility and so on. He doesn't know anything about fathers. He never heard about him. He never read about fathers. He doesn't know anything about him. Nevertheless, if you're going to go and say that that's a meaningless thing that the child calls father, you're wrong. And to say that he doesn't recognize a father is wrong. He knows his father better than anybody else. He recognizes his father. The smell, the touch, the sound and so on, he recognizes more than anybody else. It happened to me once, I remember this now. We were one of these Cholamoid extravaganzas. One of these crazy things, I don't remember what it was, like a circus or the carnival, I don't know. But one of these things, so you know, there are a lot of Hasidic fellows that are hanging around at these things. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and my wife is off with the kids someplace, and some little girl grabs my hand. He starts tati this and tati that. You know, and I see it's not my kid. And I was but I was nervous. I didn't want to upset her. I didn't want to upset her if I would say, you know, hey, it's not me. You know, you got the wrong guy. I didn't want to say anything. So I just, she wasn't looking. She wasn't looking at me. She had her eyes on all these different things and tati this and tati that. She's talking to me. And said, you know, I just said, huh? She's talking to me. I didn't want to get scared or anything. And then the most interesting thing happened. She rubbed her nose against my hand for some reason, whatever she had in it. And then she said, then she looked up. She smelled like a little kitten, like a little doggy. She smelled, this is not my father. And then her father, you know, was over there, and she ran to her father. The hasaga is an emistika hasaga that a child has, an emistika hasaga. So he says the child knows b'hakora gemura. V'hainu shenimshach yidiyazu ha'amita shelamal midaito v'asagosa shel tinek v'nislav shebetzimtzum b'daito. What's happened with the child is that there's great and awesome, profound recognition of his father that transcends the intellect, has descended into a tiny little seichel, into a tiny little peanut brain. Till he understands more than anybody else that this is his father. And he recognizes in a transcendent way, which is not a seichel. But it's clear, it's real, it's clear, it's real, and it's unmistakable. Because when this kid calls out Abba, yesh behelim kol inyan ha'amiti. That word Abba contains within all of those unbelievable, hidden, mysterious things of Usmeitan Abba, Usmeitan Tata. Ekshu Aviv. And in his inarticulated way, the child is able in that word Abba to draw the transcendent feeling and thought and awareness of what a father is and does and what he can expect from his father in this world without it being... He can't explain, he can't understand. That his father inhabits his mind and according to the ability of that child to be able to grasp. When you learn a halacha, if you learn a halacha with a child, you don't tell the kid all the machlokes, we show him the gemaras, you don't tell him all the deeper things behind the halacha. You tell him the psak, this is the din. And you use all kinds of things to explain the din. You say, you want to tell him a halach in Hilchos Shabbos, you tell him that there, you know, that there was a, that this man took the animal and he, and with the animal, how he was plowing, and you show him, you use mashalim in pictures. Nevertheless, the kid knows the halacha. He knows the psak halacha. He knows the din. Which is the essence of that matter, the din. You can be the deepest person in the world, but if you try to prove that 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 2, you're all messed up. Now this kid understands that 1 plus 1 equals 2, but he has no hasog of how that works. So it is when a child calls out mother and father, father and mother, Abba Ima. The Gemara says, how does a child know to call out Abba and Ima? By eating dogan. Dogan here is understood to mean matzah. It has to be from one of the chamishim in a dogan. Kanal, v'loy ha-dogan l'hoi, yidei mizeh l'gamrei. Without eating from the dogan, the person would not know this at all. This is particularly interesting when you understand that according to the majority of the Mekubalim, what Adam and Chava ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was Dagon, was in fact grain, certainly wasn't an apple, no one says an apple, but it was what the other opinions are in Chazal, but according to the Mekubalim, it was Chita, it was grain, and that's the tree of knowledge, the tree of understanding. V'aydeh ha-dogon nimshel cho yediyah zu. Through eating the Dagon, this yediyah, this understanding is drawn into him. The same way that in the physical world bread is the essence of life, bread is the essence. That's only as we see with our physical eyes. But the spiritual counterpart is that bread is the essence of faith. Bread is the essence of faith. But there's a difference between matzah and regular bread, which he explains in the next paragraph. There's a difference. Regular bread has risen. Matzah hasn't. And that makes all the difference.
So
that by eating matzah, a Jew knows how to say Tata. By eating matzah, a Jew knows how to say Abba, Father. He doesn't know what that means, the Baruch Shalom. It's not a question of understanding, it's the hasoga that a child has of a parent that transcends the intellect. Ki'atu avinu. The ability of a Jew to believe that Hashem is above, that transcends what we see with our eyes. Not just with our eyes, even with our intellect, with logic. It means with logic. Where does that come from? The ability to say Father, even though you don't understand the thing of what that means, Father, comes from eating matzah.
The ability to
understand somehow, even though you can't figure it out intellectually, that all of reality is mamish like the Dvar Hashem, like a word that is not at all detached from the mind, from the essence of Hashem, and this world doesn't even exist in comparison to the thoughts and to the essence of Hashem. Every Jewish person believes with emunas oymin. Every Jew believes with emunah like a yosed baltimite, like a peg, like a something that is hammered in that can never be moved. Till the point that yuchlimso nafshal kedus Hashem, and from here that the Tzemach Tzedek explains in the way of his grandfather, how do we understand this? How do we understand the ability of Jews who intellectually had no faith, who were completely detached from Torah mitzvahs, and yet when it came to the time of Mesiras Nefesh, to die for God's sake, they were prepared to do it. That comes from Abba and Ima. It does not come from logic. It doesn't come from understanding. It comes from that thing that Abba and Ima. Ki avinu ata. I never understood you. I don't know what this means, but for some reason, I find myself saying, Shema Yisrael, and I'm going to die not to convert. And I can't explain why I'm doing this. Avinu Ata, what am I going to tell you? Tata Abba. Mikomakamara, ain't masig inyan mahu mahusi yisbaruch, a bit loyalim mitzias mamish. We don't know what it means. We don't know what God's essence is. And we don't know what it means that the world doesn't exist in comparison to Hashem. What does it mean? We don't exist. Kiziv Hashemish b'shemish, like a ray of sunlight on the sun, that there are no rays of sunlight on the sun that you could see. Shein haziv nira klal, v'kan roi ha'ayla machmas, and over here we could see the sunlight, because it was separated from the sunlight, so we can see rays of the sun. On the sun itself, you can't see any rays. So we see a world that seems to be separate of God, from God, because Hashem created us in such a way where there are things that seem to distort this picture. All we can do is to imagine in our minds that this whole world and all that's in it, mamish, is nothing, and nothing at all nullified in God's presence. If we would see the essence, we wouldn't even see the physical world. That's why his grandfather, I once mentioned in a class here, that the grandfather, the Tanya, said to him, to the Tzemach Tzedek before he died, the Tzemach Tzedek was with the Tanya. And the last thing that we heard, that the Tanya said, was that he said, Mendele, Mendele. He called over the Tzemach Tzedek, Menachem Mendel. And Mendele was there by the Tanya, and the Tanya said, the Tanya was staring up at the ceiling. And the Tanya says, Mendele, what do you see? And the Tzemach Tzedek looked up and he said, I see the beams, you know, the wooden beams. So the Baal Tanya said, I see only the Devar Hashem, the letters of the Aleph Beis that give life to all reality. The last thing Tanya said, that when he looked around, all he saw were letters of the Aleph Beis. So he looked up, he saw the word in Hebrew for a beam is a kaira, kuf of reish hay. At that time, as he was leaving the world, all he saw was kuf of reish hay. Everywhere he looked, he just saw letters. That's all he could see. That's all he could see. One second. So if Hashem would let us see the chiyas, the life force, we wouldn't see physical reality. That the child somehow, in the word Abba, he's speaking about the essence of the Father, even though he doesn't know what that means. It's amazing Hashem has done this, that Hashem has concealed and constricted and diminished this awesome knowledge of His existence into the brains of human beings, not of human beings, of Jews. And it's hidden till you know, just like a child is able to know that it's his father, we're able to know that Hashem is real and ain od milvado, and all that's besides him is not. Just like a child can only understand the psak halacha, the din, but he can't get all the stuff behind it. So we can just say over that the Baruch Shalom is Eino, there's nothing besides him, and this whole world is mamish, an extension of his being that just looks to us to be something physical and something detached, but it's not. We can say the words, we can say the din, and we can know it to the point that we're prepared to give up our lives for him. But we can't explain it, we don't know what it means. And this happens by eating matzah. The same way the child calls Abba and Ima, so we can call Abba by eating matzah. Now that's the tonight, that's the condition. And here he explains this the rest of the piece, which is a few more pages. Matzah is called bread of oini, of poverty. It didn't have the time to become chametz. Chametz means I exist. I exist. Chametz means I have existence. Chametz rises. Matzah means that there's mamish nothing, only the Baruch Shalom. Chametz already has oirech and roichav. Chametz has length and width and depth. Chametz means that which we can logically understand. And you know the word chametz means something becomes sour? Because for those people who have to understand everything al pisechel, their minds are filled with chametz. So chametz de kesechel means only things that have roichiv and oirech I'm willing to buy. Things that have length and width. Things that fit into my brain. What does chachma mean? Chachma Hashem means koach ma. The ability to say what? To admit that you don't know. That's matzah. Bitl b'tachlis, k'kula kamik alei chashiva, v'nishpli yidi yizu l'mati me'asoga, that nothing exists besides Hashem, that's a matzah. V'alkein en enigba v'nispah, that's why it hasn't risen. V'zeh soydu re'ei yamuna, this is the deeper meaning of nurture faith. Should define this, it's amunda yidei achilas matzah, how does one nurture faith by eating matzah? Milcha de me'amunus, the bread of faith.
1391
is attributable
to the Rambam. 12 of them are no longer the Emunah. And yet the Rambam says Anima.
You remember when we learned Sefer Mitzvahs that the Rambam moves always between the two words knowing and believing. And in Chassidus, in the piece over here in the Tzemach Tzedek, which I don't know if we'll have an Emunah, he explains exactly what does the Rambam mean by that. And God will give us the strength. We'll go through all the 13 Ikari Hamun al Pia Chassidus, and you'll see it's unbelievable. What does it mean? The difference is whether something can be attained through intellectual and logical deduction, or it's something that exists irregardless of how intelligent or what you're able to perceive. It exists because it is intuitively, in other words, it exists because it's an experience of the Jewish soul that is a part of God and that descended from Hashem himself. Yediyah and emunah means that it's something which it simply it is. Yediyah means it's something that I understand. But this is a big subject in the Tzemach Tzedek itself, which means what we're going to learn. Yeah. No, because Hashem Echad is saying, after I look at all these things around me, after all these things that I look at, I still believe only in one God. Nothing else. There's nothing else, only one God. Whereas Bereishis Elokim, so Shemayim, Vesaris, Hashem created. So the picture that the Goyim believe in Bereishis Elokim. Bereishis Elokim means that there's... I know what you're saying. Bereishis Elokim means Yesh Me'ayim. But it doesn't mean that everything that still exists is still the appearance or the delusion of Yesh Me'ayin. So the Goyim will say, God created the world from nothing, religious Goyim said that too. They say that. Yesh Me'ayin, that's a dogma of the church as well. I mean, how they fit Yoshka into this is a little bit of a problem. But otherwise, besides Yoshka, everything is the same. So Yesh Me'ayin. But they don't say that it's still that way. In other words, they don't say that it's, like the Baal HaTanya said, that we describe the world as Yesh Me'ayin. The truly accurate way of looking at reality is Ayin Me'yesh, which means that God exists and nothing else does. Not Yesh Me'ayin, Ayin Me'yesh. That means that we look at the world now, this and this and all these things, there's Ayin. The only one Yesh is Hashem. The Goyim are capable of conceiving of Yesh Me'ayin, but that everything is now Ayin and He's the only Yesh, which is our job to turn things around and send it back that way. That's only the Jewish people have such a koyach. Okay, we're not talking about the tachlis of the bria right now. Why did He give us a table? Hashemayim shemayim l'Hashem, v'aretz nosen l'vnei adam. The heaven belongs. So the svasem is. Svasem says Hashemayim shemayim l'Hashem, v'aretz nosen l'vnei adam, to make it back into shemayim. Yeah, in other words, to reach a level of emuna, not that you walk around bumping into tables. To reach a level of emuna where it's bottle of ayin mamish and all you see is the dvar Hashem. Something that means we're not holding by it yet. We have to go step by step.
If you infuse something like this with kedusha, does it become a yesh?
It begins to enter into the realm of ayin. It's moving towards ayinness, not yeshness.
Why do you make the same bracha on chametz and matzah?
Huh? We didn't talk yet about the difference between the ches and the hey, because the two other two letters are the same. And that you're making the same bracha fakir. With matzah, it comes to that hakara, that the same lechem that you might see in the aretz, it really is lechem and hashemayim. Fakir, to be masakin the very same thing. To fix that, to repair that very same hasaga that throughout the year is faulty. Now, the tzemach said we don't have time to explain why is it that the whole year you're allowed to eat chametz. What does that mean? There's obviously an avoider. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll get to it. Rabbi said we'll have the Wednesday after Pesach, Mitzvah Shem, after Yontif. We'll continue until then. She'll have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach and to have a lot of emunah from the Michlad Mehem Nusa.